It's plain and simple. God also says that good things happen when we listen to him and obey his holy commands. And conversely, bad things happen when we do not listen to God. It couldn't be more black and white, more simple than that. So, asked the pastor, if that's the case, why do we human beings have such a difficult time doing what God says to do? That is one of the most important questions for us to ponder when it comes to life and faith. And this question is not something new to our generation. It is literally as old as the scriptures. Our first lesson today, which you heard Kathy read today, came from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Oh, Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Old Testament. The stories in Deuteronomy are over 3,000 years old. The word Deuteronomy is a Greek word. It literally means second law, because the second version of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament are found in the book of Deuteronomy in the fifth chapter. The first version of the Old Testament Ten Commandments is found in Exodus chapter 20. Deuteronomy has a lot of law in it. It's comprised of a series of speeches given by Moses to the people of Israel shortly before they crossed the Jordan River and entered into the Promised Land. And our text in chapter 30 is one of the last things Moses says to the people before they end that 40 years in the wilderness to cross the Jordan. Now you may ask, why did the people of Israel spend 40 years in the wilderness? Well, it's very simple. They didn't listen to what God had to say. They disobeyed the Lord, and so the Lord punished them by saying that the entire generation, the entire adult generation that left Egypt, they would not live long enough to enter into the Promised Land, because God takes this obeying his word thing rather seriously. And just before the people do cross the Jordan, Moses gives the people one more talk about God, what God expected and demanded of them as his people. And it is important for us today to remember that God did not choose the people of Israel because they were so wonderful and holy and devout and pious. They did not win some contest to be God's chosen people. Far from it. If you know your Old Testament, you know that the people of Israel, going back to their earliest ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to his 12 sons, the ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel, they were a pretty messed up bunch. The family of Abraham, his descendants, they were at times amazingly dysfunctional. They did not play well together. They had the rather nasty habit of using each other as means to an end. And they didn't listen to God. They would rather do things their own way. I could preach an entire year's worth of sermons on how they did not act as families should. So why did God choose this people to be his people? And the answer is, he just did. He just did. God loved the sinful, rebellious, often he calls them a stiff-necked people. Love can lead you to do some pretty amazing, crazy things. And now that as they prepared to enter the Promised Land, Moses speaks God's holy word with one last reminder to this people whom God loved in spite of their inability to do what he said. It's important also for us to know that as Moses says these words, he knows he's not going to enter the Promised Land with them. He's going to die before they go over. So this is his last opportunity to share with them what God says. So here is what Moses says to the people. Surely this command that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far from you. Moses says God's word isn't way up in the heavens where you can't reach it. It's not sunk down in the depths of the sea where you can't swim to it. He says, no, this word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. It is in your mouth and your heart. You can't get any closer than that. And Moses wasn't saying anything new to the people. He is simply repeating what God had said to them over and over and over again through the years, because sometimes important things need to be repeated. Parents, have you ever found yourself repeating something to your children? saying to them more than once, this is what you need to do, don't do that. Those of us who are parents now, when we were kids, did our parents ever have to repeat something to us more than once? Sometimes there is a lot of repetition when it comes to teaching. Why did God repeat things to Israel so much? Because God took this obeying his word thing very seriously. It was a matter of life and death. Because Israel was not about to enter a land that was dotted with welcome Israelite signs. The Canaanites, the people who lived in this land, they hated Israel. And they would do anything and everything they could to destroy these invaders who were coming to try and take over their homeland. Israel had hoped to enter the land peacefully, but God and Moses knew that would not be the case. And because of this, the people of Israel needed to be united and strong for the work ahead. It says Moses, speaking the words of the Lord, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity." Israel had a choice to make. There was option A and there was option B. One was good for them and would bring life, and one was bad for them and would bring death. You and I know about that, right? Our lives are full of choices we need to make. The choices we make can lead to good things for us and those we care about, or our choices can lead to awful consequences. How many sermons could you preach about that topic in your lives? This is what Moses tells the people. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God and walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and be numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Now that's a good thing. That's a great thing. Who would not want that? Obeying God's word is important for us. Children, it's time. Parents, I'm going to talk about the Ten Commandments for a couple of minutes. Parents, when you had your children baptized, you promised that you would teach them the Ten Commandments. That's a good one to write down. Parents promised to teach Ten Commandments. It is important that we learn God's word to us. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the sixth chapter, the chapter right after God gives the Ten Commandments, he tells the people of Israel to remember his law. When are they to remember his law? When they are at home and when they are away. When are they to recite God's law? Parents teach it to their children. When you're in bed and when you're not in bed. All the time, says God, it is important for us to know God's law. That is why children, next point, that is why here at Grace, we teach children the Ten Commandments. That is why, here's the third part, today, in just a couple of minutes, we are going to be giving our seventh graders their own study Bible as they start confirmation this year, because they will study the Ten Commandments. Seventh graders, welcome to confirmation, because you get to memorize the Ten Commandments. In order. Oh, yeah. In order. That is why, next one for you kids, in ninth graders, any ninth graders here? In ninth grader, on your retreat, we give you a quiz to see if you remember the Ten Commandments. And why do we do all of this? Because they are important. Obeying them is good. Obeying them brings life. Why? Because God takes this obeying his word thing very seriously. And the sad part of it all is what happens if we don't obey God's word, if we make the wrong choice. Again, here's what Moses says. But if your hearts turn away, and you do not hear, but are led astray and bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish, and you shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. It's about as blunt can be. Israel had seen God's power. They had seen everything God had done, how God had defeated the Egyptians at the Red Sea, how God had sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness, how God truly loved them, even though sometimes they weren't very lovable. And now as they prepared to enter a land where other gods were worshipped, they had a choice to make. Will you worship the God who's done all of this for you, or will you worship the gods of the Canaanites who have done nothing for you? And one of the most amazing things about God is this. He gave them a choice. He asked them to choose who will be your God. He did not force them to love him. He says, choose life so that you and your descendants may live loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. God implored his people to make the right choice. Most of us have seen the movie Freaky Friday. There's several versions where the mother and the daughter somehow switch places. The first one was back in the 60s with Jodie Foster. They did another one in the 90s with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. And there is a wonderful scene where Jamie Lee Curtis drops her daughter, teenage daughter, 15 years old, off at school. And as she gets out of the car, mom waves and yells, "Make good choices!" And the daughter dies of absolute embarrassment at what her mother said to her. But what mom said was right. God implores us to make good choices. Why? For that means life to you and length of days. Making the right choice for God is good for you, says the Lord. And more than being good for you, listen to this. It's good for your children. And it's good for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren who have not even been born yet. Parents, as we begin another year here at Grace, remember that the promises you make to your children, that you made to your children at their baptism, they are promises that extend probably far beyond your lifetime. And children who are whatever grade you're in, seventh graders who are starting confirmation, the choices you make, they will have an impact that stretches years and years and years into the future. It is a big deal. God takes this choosing for him seriously. Jesus said the same thing in these blunt, crazy, shocking words in today's gospel. There's a decision to be made, says Jesus, if you follow me. There's a cost to be paid. And he said it in the harshest of terms. Now, when you hear words like this, there's something the pastor, especially you eighth graders who are about to start studying the New Testament, something we need to know about Jesus. Jesus was the master of overstatement. Jesus was an amazing teacher, and sometimes teachers, they just say something so off the wall, but they say it to get your attention. Jesus was the one who said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, he didn't really mean for you to cut off your hand if you sin. Otherwise, no one here would be able to clap, all right? Jesus is the one who said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. Jesus was a master at overstatement. So he doesn't mean we have to hate our families. But he does mean we need to put him first. And if we put him first, then we will love our families even more than we would otherwise. And how many sermons could we preach on that? Jesus tells us, just as Moses told the people of Israel 1,300 years before Jesus lived, that we need to know God's word and we need to obey it. We need to have our priorities straight. Because Jesus takes this taking his word thing very seriously. Today is Rally Sunday. Today we begin another program year here at Grace. And today we take the time to hold up the seriousness of what we do as the people of God. Because being a Christian is not just about showing up on Sunday morning and being nice. That's wonderful. But there's much more involved than that. We are here, my friends, to show that we live to obey and love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we gather for worship, to hear God's word proclaimed to us. That's why children of all ages, including those of us who have gray hair, go to classes today, so that we can continue to learn God's word. That's why next Sunday we go out into our community. We have over 40 people here who will bag 10,000 meals, because one of the ways we obey God's love by God's word is we go out and we love other people in his name. Loving is not a theoretical exercise for Christians. Love in the Bible is not a feeling. It is always an action. That's why next week, as Aaron said, we open the doors of our church for homeless families who have no place to come and stay. We invite them into our church home. We welcome them in Christ's name. That's why in a couple of weeks, where's Meg? I know Meg's here. We're going to hear, Meg gets to preach in a couple of weeks, where you get to hear what Meg and the Circle of Empowerment do to make such a difference. That's why next month you'll be asked to generously support financially the work of this church. That's why each one of us, in our own ways, outside of this building, this week, next week, every week, we have the opportunity to love and share and care for others in the name of Jesus Christ. God our Father and Jesus our Savior, they take disobeying their word things seriously. It's important for us to obey. It's good for us to obey. We are blessed when we obey. And future generations, and boy, I hope we always understand this, and future generations are blessed by what we do today. We become better servants of Jesus when we obey. What did Moses say? Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you. Let us live so that we show we choose life.